'Tis the season for giving. And what's better than giving more to everyone you love? With Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, I can enjoy unlimited free shipping on everything, from flowers to gourmet gifts across their entire family of brands, which means sharing more with the special people in my life, now and all throughout the year. Shop 1-800-Flowers.com/listen and share holiday joy today. Being gifty, my calendar can be a chaotic place. 3 birthdays and my anniversary all in the next month. That's why I use Celebrations Passport from the 1-800-Flowers family of brands. Celebrations Passport gives me free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. Giving is easy with Celebrations Passport. Learn more at 1-800-Flowers.com/listen. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/listen.
It's not the type of hump show maybe that you have come to expect. We've got a lot of emotion to pack into these 4 hours, and we are glad you're along with us. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Whether you want to give the guess for the number of M&Ms in the special Christmas mason jar, you can find that video on both of our social media sites. Whether you want to vote for TD of the Week, or maybe, don't forget, you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. I know Jay will be looking for some that are unique with special holiday themes. So there's a lot that we want to do still in these next few hours, not to mention the various games from the NBA. We talked about Alex Ovechkin, his milestone, another huge contract in Major League Baseball, Kyler Murray and other QB news. But back to Mike Leach, who passed away late Monday, and the news broke on Tuesday. At 61 years old, we've lost a unique personality, someone that made waves, made headlines, and racked up wins wherever he coached. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can.
I mean, I completely hate candy corn. When I was a kid, well, gummy bears, let's see. Gummy bears for sure.
Sour or regular?
The Haribo. It's got to be the Haribo ones. And then the other thing I like is when they used to have the sprees in a box, outstanding. You have to go to the dollar store to find it, but I do. And then the latest, you know, there's still candy innovation, although a while back I found that Europe had better candy than we did overall because they have gummy everything. And then, you know, they have those Nerds clusters, which is new.
With the gummy.
Yeah, which is good.
Jay loves the Nerd clusters, and I am with him on his taste for gummy bears and specific brands of gummy bears. There was never a topic that Mike Leach couldn't talk about and wouldn't talk about right in the middle of a football press conference. We are pleased to welcome Stefan Kreisnick, who covers Mississippi State athletics and the football team for the Clarion Ledger, joining us now from Mississippi so we can reflect on Mike Leach and what he meant to college football. What's it like on campus right now after the loss of Coach Leach?
Yeah, I'll speak for here in Starkville because that's where I'm stationed. And, you know, it's kind of almost fitting the, you know, today, or I should say on Tuesday, the weather was dark and gloomy. And really last week, I mean, it was not that bad of weather. I mean, it was, you know, in the 70s and kind of nice. And it was really dark and gloomy today on campus, and it kind of reflected, you know, the feeling of most people, you know, throughout the state of Mississippi. And as I'm sure you've seen on social media, really across the nation and the college football community. I mean, Mike Leach was someone who meant a lot to a lot of people all over, you know, the country with his various stops, you know, ranging from Texas to Washington State to, you know, most recently at Mississippi State. He's been all over the place. He's touched a lot of people. And, you know, it was all just kind of shocking for a lot of people and almost fitting, you know, the weather. And students were already, you know, off campus with finals finishing up last week. So it was really quiet on campus. It was just an eerie feeling that was fitting for, you know, the emotions that everyone was feeling in Starkville and still is feeling.
I can imagine. Have you had a chance to get out and walk around?
Yeah, I was over there a few times on Tuesday, you know, after the news broke. And, you know, people were coming throughout the day and laying flowers. You know, there was people that were, you know, tearful when they were putting flowers outside the stadium. And Mississippi State did a really nice job of setting that up, putting tables, you know, kind of in a corner of the stadium where it's open a bit, where you can see the field and you can kind of see directly, you know, the video board that hovers over the field. And, you know, they had a photo of Mike Leach up there, you know, in loving memory. And, you know, right in front of that, there's a flagpole, and they put up a pirate flag at half staff to, you know, honor him. So it was an emotional scene for sure. But definitely, I think one that gave some folks, you know, maybe a little bit of closure just with how sudden everything has been. It seems like a lot of fans enjoyed the opportunity to kind of, you know, have that spot where they could meet and let their emotions out a bit and really pay tribute to someone that meant a lot to them.
When was the last time that you saw him, Stephon?
I would say probably after the Egg Bowl. We haven't really had too many media opportunities or anything like that. But I will say, I'm originally from Indiana, so I was out of town last week back home visiting my family. But on Saturday night, this most recent Saturday night, there was a Christmas party with a lot of local media members. You know, we usually get together around the holidays because, you know, a lot of us are out of town, so we like to meet, you know, when we have the opportunity. And I wasn't there, but I had a lot of friends that were there. And, you know, some of the coaches that we cover are invited to that event if they so desire to come. And no one really expected Mike Leach to show up to that event because of the recruiting stuff that was going on with signing day coming up on December 21st. And he actually wound up showing up for a little bit. And from all accounts, the people that were there, he was in high spirits. From all accounts of, you know, recruits that were on campus that weekend, he was his normal self, you know, pitching them to come to Mississippi State and talking about, you know, whatever it is that he feels like or felt like talking about.
Yes.
And which is so on brand for Mike Leach. And, you know, that's why I caught so many people off guard, because just, you know, less than 12 hours before the news broke of, you know, him being airlifted to the hospital in Jackson with a medical emergency, he was really just being his normal self.
Stephon Krajcnik covers Mississippi State athletics for the Clarion Ledger, and he's with us here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Really appreciate his time after these last couple of days and the loss of Mike Leach at just 61 years old. And he's such a unique person, not to mention a football coach. And there's so many different stories that I've heard come up. There's so many people who have such unique memories. So for you personally, Stephon, what's it been like to cover a team coached by Mike Leach?
Yeah, and I got asked that question so many times throughout the years that I've covered him here in Starkville, and it really is. And you know, at the time it was exciting, and now I look back and I even consider it a blessing. I mean, he was a guy that, you know, people see the press conferences and the viral moments, and he knew how to work us. He knew how to answer questions in a way that he wasn't really answering questions. He knew how to go on, you know, these long rants where he probably lost our attention about, you know, 2 minutes into the 10-minute rant or something like that. He knew how to work us. He was very media savvy. He was smart. He, you know, has a law degree from Pepperdine. You know, if he wasn't going into football, I'm sure he would probably be a world-class lawyer or something along those lines. I mean, he's a smart guy, and it was always really cool to just – I always loved when the press conference ended and he would walk off the podium, and, you know, he would always stop and have some random conversation with us, you know, on his way out. I mean, he went on a rant about whether turkey sandwiches were better than ham sandwiches one time, because it was what we had for the media spread that day that they gave us. We talked about, you know, his time at Texas Tech, and he didn't really recruit Patrick Mahomes just because, you know, he got fired from Tech in 2009. So he didn't really recruit Patrick Mahomes, but he knew that, you know, Patrick Mahomes was this kind of standout baseball player, and he kind of heard from people that he knew that stayed at Texas Tech about how he was making his way up through the ranks and how Texas Tech was, you know, pumped to get him to potentially play football. And, you know, now we see what Patrick Mahomes' career has turned into. I mean, there's just so many you could talk to him about anything and have a conversation for hours, and that's just what made it so fascinating and what made him so cool to cover is you knew that he was always going to give you the time if you wanted it, and was always going to, you know, be willing to not just have a conversation with you, but ask you by yourself. I mean, there's times where I've had conversations with him, and, you know, he's dove into my family background and talked about my family, and I'm like, I'm supposed to be interviewing you. How did you flip this on me? How did you do this? I mean, he was just so curious and so interesting, and it was really, really fun and really a blessing to cover him.
I can imagine his football players are in shock. And this is something almost unimaginable, especially when you're in college and you think people are invincible and maybe you live forever. How did he relate to the kids that he coached? How did they perceive him?
Yeah, I think he was really relatable. I think, you know, people maybe saw that he was, you know, 61 years old and maybe wasn't able to, you know, relate to young players, but I think he really did. I mean, you see the outpouring of support. I mean, so many of those players are in shock, but at the same time, you know, they're tweeting, you know, how much love they have for him. It's really been, you know, an emotional time for those players. But, you know, I talked to a former Mississippi State coach and a former A&M coach as well, and Jackie Sherrill, and he's close friends with Leach, and they got, you know, there's a coaching fraternity, and all those guys get along, sure, as you know. And those two guys were really tight. And he talked about how, you know, Leach, he held his players accountable. And everyone, you know, has probably seen Leach, you know, whether it be go off on a player on the sidelines or fold the folding chairs away so his wide receivers can't sit anymore because they're not focusing on the game. And he had a way of holding them accountable. But Jackie Sherrill said he did it in a way that, you know, was kind of like a parent. He truly, you know, cared about those players and wanted the best for them, whether it was, you know, pursuing a football career or not. You know, he set them up for success. And you look at his coaching tree and whether it be former players or coaches that he's had in the past, that, you know, guys like Josh Heupel and Sonny Dykes and, you know, Cliff Kingsbury and Lincoln Riley that have gone on to have success. He really, you know, he was able to relate to players and was interesting and found ways to be interested in whatever they were interested in. If there was something new, you know, I'm sure if he stuck around and was there to coach, you know, football in 15 years from now, I'm sure he'd be all in on having some conversation about crypto or NFTs or whatever it may be. I mean, he's a guy that, you know, nothing was too new for him. He would be willing to learn about it. And he was able to relate to players well. And I think that's what, you know, part of what makes it so tough for them now.
What about on the field? What made him successful as a coach?
I think what made him successful is he trusted, you know, what he did. He trusted that the air raid was going to work because he studied it and perfected it so much over the years. And, you know, there's been a lot of times where I'm sure most Mississippi State fans and, you know, I'll be quick to admit that probably maybe some of us Mississippi State reporters too were thinking to ourselves, hey, why not run the damn ball a little bit more, Mike? It seems to work sometimes instead of, you know, the 50, 60 passes a game. But I think he trusted that what they did in practice and what he's learned over the years and really implemented and what he does is going to work. And I think that's part of what made him so successful is because he trusted himself and his staff to make the right calls, and he trusted his players to execute in key moments. I mean, you think back to some of those big wins that he had at Texas Tech, top-ranked A&M and top-ranked Texas teams that were just monumental wins for Texas Tech. They come down to the final plays, and it's a lot of times, you know, him going to Michael Crabtree and trusting Michael Crabtree to make a play. So I think that he believed in his players and in himself and in his staff maybe more than others, and really did a good job of tuning out that outside noise to make himself someone that was successful in this industry. And it's a tough industry to be successful in.
What is the plan for the bowl game for Mississippi State?
Mississippi State's planning on playing. They've announced that, and there's no doubt that the players want to play for Mike Leach. And you know, I've seen quotes out there from sources and things of that nature that said that Mississippi State players want to play because it's what Leach would want them to do. They want to continue practicing how they normally would. Defensive coordinator Zach Arnett is kind of the interim coach for the time being, but the way that, you know, Mississippi State functions, you know, even when Leach was still here and coaching, the assistants were very involved. So it should be a pretty smooth transition, at least for the short term for Mississippi State. And, you know, some of the people in the athletic department have put out there already that they're just trying to find ways of, you know, how they're going to honor Leach in the ReliaQuest Bowl, whether it be, you know, custom jerseys. I mean, people are already tweeting, you know, custom helmets with the pirate logo on them and whatnot. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of tributes to Mike Leach in that game, but I think the most touching tribute and probably the most important one is that Mississippi State plans on playing because it's what he would want them to do.
Knowing what you know of this team, how much of a challenge do you think it will be for these players?
I think it'll be a tough challenge. It's not easy, you know, whether it be emotionally, physically, whatever it may be. I will touch on this. You know, from the game planning standpoint, I think Mississippi State, you know, can succeed. I think it's just going to be tough. This is a team that's gone through a lot emotionally this year. You know, in the spring, former Mississippi State inside receivers coach Dave Nicolet actually just left to go to USC with Lincoln Riley when Lincoln took that job, and ended up passing away not too long after he left. And then, you know, during the season, right before Mississippi State played Alabama, they had a freshman walk on, Sam Westmoreland, you know, take his own life. So this is a Mississippi State, you know, roster that for a bunch of young men have gone through a lot, you know, emotionally this year. And this is just another layer to it, and a huge layer to it. You're losing head coach. So I'm interested to see, you know, how the emotions, you know, weigh on this team. And I think there's no doubt that if the players have said they don't want to play, or if the players come out and play poorly, with the emotions of the past couple of days and what will be a tough couple of weeks for them, I don't think anyone will blame them. You know, Leach has so much trust in his staff, and they're so involved, from receivers coaches to running backs coaches to whatever it may be, quality control coaches. You know, some of his best coaching tree products have been, you know, offensive analysts or offensive, you know, quality control guys. I think he has a lot of trust in the guys that he hired here, and I think Mississippi State, you know, should be in a good place to compete with Illinois in that game.
Stevan Krajnik is with us from the Clarion Ledger, covers Mississippi State athletics, and Mike Leach, who passed away Monday night, Tuesday morning, after what was a very short stint in the hospital, but a lot of tributes, a lot of support over the past 48 hours for this well-known coach, two-time coach of the year, but really more the personality and the unique way that he viewed life. And so we appreciate you sharing some of your insights. I know a lot of times when I think about my job in sports radio and talking about events and headlines that are big in the sports world, they tend to pale and become so unimportant when we're talking about a life or death situation like this, or like Grant Wall passing away in Qatar, who is a well-known reporter who had covered soccer for years. For you personally, what have these last couple days been like?
It's been tough and it's been emotional, you know, just like I'm sure a lot of people who knew Mike Leach would probably say the same thing. But, you know, at the same time, it's been really cool to see the outpouring of support for Leach and the people that knew him well. You know, when you cover someone from day to day and you see him, you know, every week at a press conference, or you talk to him after every game and things like that, I don't want to say it ever became routine, but I think, you know, the past couple of days have really been, you know, kind of a reminder of, you know, Mike Leach was a really special person to cover and a really special person, you know, on a national level. And you see just with this outpouring of support, how many people really, you know, were intrigued with what he was going to say in a press conference, what he was going to call in a game. He's really a special figure, and he's a tough guy to lose, just because, you know, as a college football fan, we've all lost someone that made the sport, you know, a really, really tough sport, but also a really, really cool sport to celebrate and watch, you know, from week in to week out. And you just, it sucks, because, you know, moving forward, whether you be a fan of a team in the Pacific Northwest or a fan of a team in Florida, you know that the sport got a little more dull, and the sport you love got a little more dull. 20 plus seasons, Mike Leach provided something to sport that means a lot to a lot of people.
I saw a quote from SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey in which he said, "Every conversation with Mike made you think." Did you often come away from your encounters with Coach Leach feeling like you had a lot to think about?
Yeah, it is. It made me think that I got better pick up a book and start reading, because this coach is going to beat me in any argument we could possibly have. But it also sometimes made me think of what exactly was he talking about there. So no, he was, like I said earlier, I mean, he was so smart. And going back to my conversation with Jackie Sherrill, Jackie said that if you ever got into an argument with Leach, you were going to lose, because he was going to say something that you didn't know, or you, like, I mean, he could lie to you and you'd probably believe him, just because he's so smart, and he could just probably pull out any facts that you never knew. I mean, he was just, he really was smart, and he always gave you, if you asked him something or if you brought up something, you know, he would walk away thinking about it too, and he'd be curious, and maybe he would follow you up with you down the road and be like, "Hey, you know, I'm still thinking about that, the thing we were talking about." So he really was, Greg Sankey put it in a great way. And I think Greg also said, either in the tweet or in the statement, of, you know, one statement is not enough to describe, you know, who Mike Leach was. And that's also another really good way of putting it.
He was nicknamed the Pirate because he loved pirates. And I didn't know this, but read about it, that he had a life-size statue of a singing pirate in his office when he was at Washington State. So as you say, many unique wrinkles to Coach Leach. Before I let you go, Stefan, is there one maybe press conference or one conversation, one story that you'll remember that is stuck with you more than any other?
Yeah, I'll remember this, and I got the opportunity last year to be part of one of those iconic late-night Leach phone calls. I was interviewing him for a story about Pepperdine, or his time at Pepperdine Law School, and, you know, I texted him. I was like, hey, you know, what time can we do this interview? He's like, I'll call you around 9, and typical Leach fashion, he ended up calling me around, like, 10:30. So I'm thinking, all right, let's do this interview real quick so we can get to bed, and the conversation ended up going until about 2 a.m. or something like that.
Oh, my gosh!
It was just such typical Leach fashion of, and he was so interested in me and my family, and obviously, you know, I was interested in him, and, you know, I told him that my family's from Europe, and he, you know, he talked about all the places that he's traveled to and all the things he's done, and that's the thing that'll just always stick with me is, you know, I was a reporter fresh out of college, you know, covering a beat for the first time, and I'm covering this coach that's, you know, been coaching for more than 2 decades and is, you know, maybe one of the most successful coaches in college football history, and there we are on the phone, you know, in the middle of the night talking about my family. It's just It's just something that sticks with you for a while, whether it's someone you're covering or just someone you run into. When someone, you know, shows genuine curiosity for you in a setting where, you know, they probably don't have to, and you wouldn't be surprised if they didn't, it just sticks with you. And I think for a lot of people that have shared their stories, I think Leach is just how humble he was for someone who was that successful. It really does stand out with you.
Mm. I appreciate you sharing your memories, of course, especially after what these last couple of days have been like. The job that you do has changed so completely, and yet it helps to be able to talk to people who knew him, and I think it helps for people who want to know more about him to hear the story. So thank you so much. Stefan Krajcnik covers Mississippi State Athletics for the Clarion Ledger. You can find him on Twitter at, I'm going to spell it, SKRAJISNIK. With the number 3. Thank you so much, Stefan. I do really appreciate your time and your insight.
Yeah, of course. Thanks so much for having me on.
I learned a lot about Coach Leach in that conversation with Stefan, and I hope that you did too. I hope this show offers you some insight, but also some humor into the man who coached football for a living, but had a law degree from Pepperdine and a life-size pirate in his office, and could talk about anything from candy to mascots, to sandwiches, to family, to travel, without skipping a beat. College football will never be the same. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Being gifty, my calendar can be a chaotic place. 3 birthdays and my anniversary, all in the next month. That's why I use Celebrations Passport from the 1-800-Flowers family of brands. Celebrations Passport gives me free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. Giving is easy with Celebrations Passport. Learn more at 1-800-Flowers.com/listen. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/listen. The holiday season is in full swing. As you plan time with family and friends, there might be someone you can't be with, but who's close to your heart. Show them how much you're thinking of them with one-of-a-kind flowers and gifts from 1-800-Flowers.com. From blooms and bites to festive decor and party essentials, 1-800-Flowers.com has everything you need to express and connect for the holidays, birthdays, or every day. Shop 1-800-Flowers.com/listen today.
Many of us are already planning our New Year's resolutions to work out more in 2023, but let's face it, they rarely stick. Well, Peloton's got a gift for you. Get up to $200 off accessories like non-slip grip dumbbells, cycling shoes, heart rate monitors, and more with the purchase of a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. Don't wait. Get this offer before it ends on December 25th. Visit onepeloton.com. All access membership separate. Offer ends December 25th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
If you take CBD, listen up. Next Evo Naturals is the only CBD brand clinically proven to have 30 times faster absorption in the first 30 minutes. That's important because you can only get the benefits of CBD if your body can absorb it. Get smarter CBD from Next Evo Naturals. Go to nextevo.com and get a trial size of premium pure CBD gummies for free by adding them to any order of $40 or more and using code GUMMY15. That's NEXTEVO.com, promo code GUMMY15.
It's on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I hope there's Bigfoot. I don't think there is. The reason I don't think there is, because we found bones of dinosaurs and everything else, but we haven't found bones that I've heard of Bigfoot. Aliens, I suspect there is, and I don't know that they're... they're little green men, and I don't know that they're specifically in our galaxy. I don't know that they would, just be hostile mutants and the rest, you know. They might look, remarkably like us, where the style-wise or something, they evolved a different direction, maybe buildings, cars, different, who knows, you know.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I always wondered if Mike Leach did it on purpose or if he literally just got started and couldn't stop himself. Was he calculated with his rants about aliens and Bigfoot and candy and mascots? Was he calculated in his comments about marriage? He said just elope. Actually, it was weddings, not marriage. Just elope was his recent advice to a reporter who, for some reason, brought up the topic. Or did he do it just off the cuff? And this was a stream of consciousness with Mike Leach. Or was it the opposite? Did he know exactly what he was doing and how? He certainly did on the football field. Air raid. That was his style. The air raid. Air it out, baby. And I'm not sure if you all saw this. It did make the rounds on social media on Tuesday. One of his catchphrases when it came to football, and probably life as well, one of his philosophies that he turned into a catchphrase, swing your sword. And that's the hashtag that's been trending around Mike Leach. In fact, the Washington State football account, and he was at Washington State before he left for Mississippi State, shared a photo of him and used the hashtag swing your sword. I like this tribute that the Washington State football team used. We are who we are because of you, coach. We loved every minute and every memory you have imprinted into this program. Forever a Coug. Swing your sword. I like that. It's a little bit along the lines of you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. Or shoot your shot. Or Bruce Arians likes the no risk it, no biscuit approach. Swing your sword. You might as well try. You might as well give it a shot. You might as well go for it. And he was a pirate, fancied himself a pirate. That was his nickname because he had an affinity and a lifelong love of pirates. And so his came from that realm. Swing your sword, coach. Swing your sword. Coming up, we'll run full court, probably not with a sword. That seems ill-advised. But we had overtime in Los Angeles. I still am not real sure how the Lakers managed to force overtime when they were down by double figures, but then they were up by double figures with 4 minutes to go in the game and somehow managed to lose. Also, a milestone for Giannis Antetokounmpo, and one that I think is significant for a lot of reasons, but also I was surprised because if you consider the length of his career, it's more about his durability and his reliability than it is about the number of years he's invested with the Milwaukee Bucks. Carlos Correa to the San Francisco Giants. Alex Ovechkin to the 800 Club. The highest of highs, but some lows too on this show. You want to find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. You can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything to either Twitter or Facebook. Some of you are sending your guesses for the number of M&Ms in the jar. Marco, how many did you guess?
I don't know, but can I change it? Because now I see that, well, you were moving it around. It looked like a bigger jar. Can I change my number? It looks a lot smaller now.
Producer Jay, am I allowed? Are you allowed? Is he allowed to amend his guess?
We'll give it one.
One amendment.
One All right. Here.
212. It's a lot smaller.
You go from 734 to 212.
Yeah, it looked a lot bigger.
I told you to watch the video, and you refused.
It's not that I refused. I didn't say I refused.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus.
It's smaller than I thought. So, but 212 is still a lot. That's a lot of M&Ms.
Have you introduced your daughter yet to I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas?
I haven't. I don't know if she's heard it.
I don't know. It's a little girl who sings it, right? So she needs to know all about hippos.
I'll see if she's into it. Honestly, if it's not Elmo, Minnie Mouse, or Bluey, it's not really her thing. Those
but
are her three things.
You might be able to introduce her to a hippo if you show her what a hippo is all about.
I want a hippopotamus for Christmas. Only a hippopotamus.
I'll roll it out. See if it flies. I'll give it a shot.
Did you see the hippo Christmas ornament that I posted on Facebook? Probably not. You're not really a Facebooker, are you?
I don't have Facebook.
Okay, good. I wish I was you. Right now, I wish I was you. So anyway, I'll show it to you because it's adorbs. My mom knows I love that song, I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas. So last year at Christmas time, she gave me this ornament. And it's a hippo in a tutu. Let's see if I can roll it down so you can see she's also got dancing slippers on. Look at she's a ballet dancing hippo. So I think your daughter would be into pink and tutus, no?
Yeah.
She's super cute.
So let's see. All right, I'll roll it out there. Let's see if she likes it or
if you sing it to her. I feel like that would be the
yeah,
clincher.
That'll make her run out of the room. That's
So I was going around my Sunday school class with my fourth and fifth graders on a couple Sundays ago and asking them their favorite Christmas songs, and no one had heard the hippo song. And so I was the only one. I introduced them to the hippo song.
Did they like it?
Well, they did, but they also think I'm weird, which is totally fine. I don't mind that. A hippo song.
That's what kids do. That's, yes. Yeah.
I only like hippopotamuses, and hippopotamuses like me too.
What just happened?
You know what? You know what? My son might like it. My daughter might like it. We'll see if the other one likes it too. So. You know, we got a little while for
that. Would you say the other one?
I got another one coming in May.
What? So, I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah, How's your wife doing?
She's good. So yeah.
That's awesome. Congratulations.
Thanks.
Do you know if it's a boy or a girl?
I do.
Okay. She doesn't?
Not yet.
Wow. Is that your arrangement? You're allowed to know, but she doesn't want to?
No. We both found out for the first two at the same time. For what she wants to do this year, and I think we're doing this for Christmas, she wants to do not like a small thing with just us, like open up a box to unveil for my kids and for her to find out. But for somebody to do that, somebody's got to know.
So you're setting it up.
So I'm the one.
You're arranging it?
Yeah. She hasn't given me the details of what I'm expected to do yet.
Oh, so she's telling you what to do. You just have to pick the color.
I'll be the one that, I'm the only one that knows. So I'll be the one that has to take care of that for Christmas.
That's fun. Except I love that she's not leaving anything to chance. She's telling you exactly how she wants it done. All you have to do is pick the color.
Yeah, that's pretty much life for me. Yeah. I'm not allowed to do much.
And, oh my gosh. Yeah. How are you feeling? Soon you'll be a father of three. A daddy of three.
Yeah.
That's a lot more trick-or-treating. Yeah. You better get in some shape so you can walk the 3 miles for trick-or-treating.
That's not my concern. We got a 3-bedroom house. I'm worried about who's sleeping in the shed. It's me, which is fine. I'm concerned if, you know.
On the floor. Yes.
Yeah. That's my concern.
That's awesome, Marco. Congratulations. That's a really cool Christmas gift. I'm sure your parents are psyched, too.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody was shocked. I mean, you know, the idea is still everybody looks at it like, you're old. You know that, right? I'm like, yeah, no, I'm aware. Yeah, I'm aware. So, yeah.
Fantastic. We'll figure that out. Those kiddos will keep you young for a long time. Plus, it ensures that you will continue working since you can't afford to stop working.
Yes.
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 Exactly.
As long as I'm allowed to come here. Yes. Yes.
The holiday season is in full swing. As you plan time with family and friends, there might be someone you can't be with, but who's close to your heart. Show them how much you're thinking of them with one-of-a-kind flowers and gifts from 1-800-Flowers.com. From blooms and bites to festive decor and party essentials, 1-800-Flowers.com has everything you need to express and connect for the holidays, birthdays, or every day. Shop 1-800-Flowers.com/listen today. Being gifty, my calendar can be a chaotic place. Three birthdays and my anniversary all in the next month. That's why I use Celebrations Passport from the 1-800-Flowers family of brands. Celebrations Passport gives me free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. Giving is easy with Celebrations Passport. Learn more at 1-800-Flowers.com/listen. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/listen. Tis the season for giving. And what's better than giving more to everyone you love? With Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, I can enjoy unlimited free shipping on everything, from flowers to gourmet gifts across their entire family of brands, which means sharing more with the special people in my life, now and all throughout the year. Shop 1-800-Flowers.com/listen and share holiday joy today.
If you own a small to medium-sized business that kept employees on payroll through COVID, you may have a big cash refund waiting for you. The Employee Retention Credit is a tax credit of up to $26,000 per employee. And now, more businesses than ever qualify. The experts at RefundsPro.com specialize in cutting through the red tape of qualifying for this government program. Most of their refunds are over $100,000. Even businesses that have received PPP funds may be eligible. And there are absolutely no fees unless you receive a refund, so there's no reason not to apply. If your business experienced shutdowns, limited capacity, supply chain challenges, or reduced revenue due to COVID, you likely qualify. RefundsPro.com has already helped hundreds of businesses, so don't lose the refund you're owed by missing the deadline. Get started today with a free 5-minute questionnaire at RefundsPro.com. That's Refunds with an S, Pro.com.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Giannis attacks on Kuminga right to the hole, hangs that off the rim, and gets it to go. Giannis finally hits the three from the left wing as he holds his arms outstretched above his head. Middleton on the left wing, trying to get himself some rhythm, and that'll help as he nestles that three-pointer through from the left wing. 20-point lead for the Bucks again, 116-96. Ninth three ball of the night for Milwaukee. Middleton will feed it out to Portis. Portis catch and shoot three. Yes, sir. All of a sudden, the lid has been lifted off the rims. Three-pointer starting to drop.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
On Bucks Radio, it was one of those nights for Milwaukee against visiting Golden State. Now, there's two things at work here. Number one, as you hear in that montage, the Bucks were able to can a number of triples when they needed them, 12 of 29 from beyond the arc, and also a size advantage on the free throw line. This is just made free throws, but an 11-point edge at the charity stripe, 26 made free throws versus 15 for the Golden State Warriors, who stink on the road. They do. That's their reality this year. I know they're the defending champions. You can never truly count them out. But these games matter just as much as the ones in March and April, and they are putting themselves in a bit of a hole that they'll have to climb out of. Not impossible. Last year they faced adversity as well. So we'll see what they do it once we get past Christmas and then on into the second half of the season. But right now, the Warriors are 2 of 12 on the road, and Steve Kerr is not above letting his team have it privately and publicly.
It was a very choppy game. You know, not a great showcase for the league. Unfortunately, you know, we didn't play very well, and I thought Milwaukee played really well defensively, and we couldn't find a rhythm, and we were getting frustrated with some no calls, and it led to a very choppy night.
One of those no calls in particular is one that Steve Kerr was ready to continue harping on, actually led to a technical foul for Steph Curry because he was protesting and protesteth too much and was teed up by the officials.
I was already mad at several non-calls in the paint. You know, Steph Curry gets hit on the head on a three-point shot. Like, that needs to be called. You know, that's what he does. That's it's Steph Curry. You can't miss that. And so I was frustrated because if Steph gets a technical, then he definitely got fouled. And I was already upset with a couple of other non-calls.
Anytime the defender's asking you, are you all right? And the ref's like, I didn't say anything. That's kind of a funny situation to be in. I thought it was like clear. I got hit in the face. I was actually surprised it went in. I was more worried about where the foul call was. That's just a heat of the moment thing. And you let your emotions out. I wasn't the only one.
He definitely did that, and he got a technical for his trouble, but also there were other problems. The free throw disparity notwithstanding, the Golden State Warriors do not defend well on the road. In every single road game this year, and they've played 14 of them away from the Chase Center, they've allowed at least 114 points. Now, do they have the ability to score that many on the road? Sure, but that makes life really difficult. Have allowed at least 114 points in every road game this season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Draymond Green had an encounter with a fan and actually asked the officials and asked security to kick that fan out of the game. And the security detail did remove the fan after Draymond identified him.
Some threatening stuff to my life. So, you know, I was this close to really going back and like diving all the way in, but kind of just went back and told the official. And when I told the official what he said, he's like, oh, he got to get out of here. And he got to get out of here.
I understand that many fans believe they should be allowed to say anything. It's free speech. After all, we live in the United States, blah, blah, blah. Except free speech doesn't mean free from consequences. And there are more and more examples of athletes either complaining about a fan, one fan in particular, whose comments stand out or who the athlete believes have crossed the line. And when an athlete requests that a fan be removed, it's generally honored. Even if it is a he said, he said. And I have no problem with that whatsoever. Rory McIlroy has done this with fans at various golf tournaments. I would rather that fan get removed, even if it feels unfair, than I would have Draymond Green or any other athlete lose his temper in this heat of the moment, getting heckled over and over, inappropriate comments, and then end up in the stands or end up in an altercation with that fan. I still say it's a privilege to be at these games. Yes, you paid money for them, but come on, just because you're in an arena watching a game doesn't mean you can act like a total idiot all the time. There have to be some lines there. And if the athletes feel threatened or the athletes feel unsafe, then the fan should be removed. And so the Bucks, now remember, this is on the road. The Bucks did remove the fan. They are investigating the incident and consulting with the NBA. This guy was sitting just beyond the baseline. Some threatening stuff to my life is how Draymond put it. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Huge night for Giannis Antetokounmpo, the player who's logged more minutes in a Bucks uniform than any other in franchise history. So he logs just about 30 minutes last night with a dozen rebounds, 30 more points. So, you know, he'll be climbing the career charts and points as well. He's now at 22,113 minutes in a Bucks uni.
Playing the most minutes in a Bucks jersey ever, that's huge. You know, I feel like, you know, it doesn't matter what you've done. you feel like you've contributed to a team, you know, to the history of this team, and it's an honor to have that accomplishment. So I didn't know until I heard it, but I tried to, you know, focus in the game. That's what I do. But it's a great accomplishment, and I'm proud of everything and all the people that have been around me and all the hard work that I've put in, and I'm happy that God blessed me with the opportunity to wake up every single day to do what I love and be good at it.
If it's not dad jokes, I always appreciate when Giannis is reflecting about his accomplishments, but also about the Bucks and about these milestones. His story is so atypical, and he is such an atypical athlete slash basketball player. And this is the part that's crazy. He's already the franchise leader in minutes played, and yet he's not even 30 years old. Holy cow. Could he have double the number of minutes before he retires? Maybe he slows down a little bit. He's been relatively durable. We know that he is also reliable. The Bucks' best player, one of the NBA's best players, multiple times.
And I'm a freaking champion.
MVP, a champion. He continues to strive to get better. But he broke into the league at 19 years old in the 13-14 season. I mean, that's the year that we started CBS Sports Radio. He's been in the league a decade this season. That's it. And he's already the franchise leader in minutes. Now, it speaks to the nonstop kind of revolving door of Bucks players, but they found some stability and their cornerstone is Giannis. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Many of us are already planning our New Year's resolutions to work out more in 2023, but let's face it, they rarely stick. Well, Peloton's got a gift for you. Get up to $200 off accessories like non-slip grip dumbbells, cycling shoes, heart rate monitors, and more with the purchase of a Peloton bike, Bike Plus, or Tread. Don't wait. Get this offer before it ends on December 25th. Visit onepeloton.com. All access membership separate. Offer ends December 25th. Cannot be combined with other offers. See additional terms at onepeloton.com.
This is your operating system talking, not your computers or your phones, but your internal human operating system. I'm feeling a little overloaded. Here's how you can ease my stress. Close your eyes or softly gaze at something in front of you. Now inhale for 4 counts, exhale for 6. Keep repeating. Much better. Longer term, there's BetterHelp Online Therapy. They'll match us with a licensed therapist we can connect with via video, phone, or chat. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive and save 10% on our first month. If you're feeling down and having trouble getting up in the morning, here's a tip. Brush your teeth. That's it. Often when we wake up, our brains go into planning mode, which leads to overthinking and stress before our head even leaves the pillow. Something simple like brushing your teeth can break that cycle and jumpstart your day. This tip was brought to you by BetterHelp Online Therapy, which connects you with a licensed therapist via video, phone, or online chat. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive and save 10% on your first month.